the rest of the story. As an adult, he never smoked, nor did he like being around people who were smoking. But fully to appreciate why, one would have to know the rest of the story. You see, as a child, he suffered gravely from asthma. And the attacks were frequent, and they were violent. An acute attack, according to asthma sufferers, is like being suffocated or strangled. The sensation is one of being unable to inhale, though the problem is just the opposite. The overinflated lungs cannot push the old air out through the constricted bronchial tubes. Physicians tell us that the central nervous system and the endocrine system and both sides of the brain are involved, but there is still very much that we do not know about asthma. Imagine then what it was like more than 100 years ago, before oxygen tents or epinephrine or ephedrine or aminophylline, when this one little boy was 10, and that was more than 100 years ago. His parents were convinced that no allergy precipitated the attacks. Neither season nor location seemed to have any bearing. The little boy was taken all over the country, finally to Europe for a year, in hopes that different air might make a difference. But it did not. Often an asthmatic seizure would follow a spell of homesickness or ambiguous melancholy. For some reason, his worst attacks came mostly on Sundays, almost always in the middle of the night. The child would awaken with a dry cough, his chest tightening. Soon breathing would become difficult, each breath shallower than the one before. He would wheeze, he would gasp. If he tried to speak, the words would come out in short, desperate bursts, and the agonizing battle for breath would continue for hours. In those days, before sophisticated medications, such an attack could be fatal. There were, however, a multitude of homespun treatments. Youngsters were plunged into cold baths, given enemas dosed with gin and whiskey and wine laced with opium. Anything that induced vomiting was sought out. Often children were forced to inhale the fumes of burning nitrate paper or poisonous plants, and that's why when this one little boy grew up, he detested smoking. In the middle of severe childhood asthmatic seizures, his well-intentioned father made him smoke cigars. For it was then believed that nicotine poisoning and the awful accompanying sickness, the dizziness, the disorientation, the nausea, the vomiting would chase away the asthma. Maybe sometimes it did, but the little boy never forgot those cigars. Now, a footnote for your consideration. Acute asthma attacks are commonly followed by euphoria, a prolonged surge of incredible energy and emotional exuberance. This was most frequently the case with the little boy you've just met. In fact, it was his energy, it was his exuberance, his apparent all-around gusto for which he is best remembered. And although his will was indeed remarkable, he was never a truly physically sturdy man. He died completely worn out at 60. And one thing more, at least two biographies, at least two I know of, state categorically that President Theodore Roosevelt never smoked, never used tobacco in his life. And now you know better, because now you know the rest of the story.